This week is Parashas Vayikra. It's Parashas Zohar. And Parashas Zohar is really what someone would call is the Ufraf for Matan Torah, for Purim. Why is the, we know the Shabbos before, at least by Ashkenazim, is in Shabbos lies the events of the following week, and Purim is the time of the ultimate Kabbalah Satira. The Hados Nitna Dishushan Habira. We think that the Torah was given in Har Sinai. It's only partially true. Har Sinai, we were given that we were mekabel the Torah nasav and nishma b'chasal tell us. We were only mekabel the Torah sheb b'chsav with rotzayin. But with regard to the Torah sheb al peh, kofa aleim har kegigis HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put the mountain upon us and to force us to accept the Torah sheb al peh. When did Klal Yisrael finally come around to accept the Torah sheb al peh? At the time of Purim, due to the ahavas hanes, we were mekabel the Torah b'rotzayin. Menela, the Shabbos before Purim, that's why the Darshanim explained Purim is called Kabbalah Satara, the Hados Nitna, Das Eish, Das Lamoi, Das is a code for the Torah. It was Nitna, Bishushan Habira, the complete Kabbalah Satara was given in Shushan Habira in the time of Purim. Therefore, the Shabbos before Purim is the ultimate Hachana, it's the ultimate preparation for Kabbalah Satara. Okay, now let's go to. It's interesting. The Parash Vayikra. There are so many remarks, and there are so many different things in Parash Vayikra, which really are very appropriate, very much in line with the theme of Parshas Zohar. It's not a coincidence that these two parashios, they coincide in a year in the Libya. Now let's say for example, the entire beginning of Chumash Vayikra is all about the bringing of korbanos. Right? You can't deny that that's what the theme is. Vayikra el Moshe vayidav Hashem lo limar Adam ki yakriv mikem korban la Hashem. The milos, the wonderful things that come about to the offering of a carbon. We know it's machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, is the purpose to bring a carbon to reject avodah zarah. The Ramban says the purpose to bring a carbon is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should imagine that he himself is giving up his own neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but instead of giving his neshama, there's a replacement with an animal. In the Haftorah, a Parsha Zohar, we learn about Melchemes Amalek. We learn how Shaul was instructed by Shmuel to wage war against Amalek, and we learn about his failure. We learn that he spared Agag, he did not immediately kill Agag, and we also learn that he did not destroy all of the spoils. Okay, the words of the Pasuk here, the words of the Pasuk in the middle of the Haftarah is Vayikach Ha'am Mehasholol. The people who were part of the army of Shaul, they took from the spoils. Tsoin uvokar reishis hacherim lizboyach lahashem elokecha bagilgal. They took from the spoils. Now, let's go back a step before. When Shmuel approached Shaul, he demanded why he did not obey the command. V'lomo loy shamata b'kol Hashem v'ta'at es ha-shalol v'ta'as hora b'yenei Hashem. Why did you not listen to Hashem? Why did you take for yourself the spoils? Why did you not destroy the spoils? And why did you do evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shaul's response was, the reason why we did not destroy the animals was because we want to use the animals to offer as sacrifices to Hashem. And then Shmuel says some very powerful words. And these powerful words are really, I mean, if you go to select all the words of Nevi'im, where you'll find a discussion about the Maila of Korbanos, this is really the section. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said to Shaul as follows, Hachifetz laHashem be'olois uzvachim kishmoya b'kol Hashem. Does Hashem really want your sacrifices? Hashem couldn't care less. Hashem is not interested in your sacrifices. Offering sacrifices is nothing relative to kishmoya, to listen, b'kol Hashem. He goes further. Hinei, shemoya to listen to Hashem. Mizevach toif. It's much, much better than offering a sacrifice. Lahakshiv, to hearken, to listen carefully to Hashem. Mechelev elim. It's much more precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the fats of elim of the rams. Kichatas kesem meri. V'oven usrofim haftzar. That reject rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered the ultimate sin of magic. V'oven usrofim haftzar. Haftzar means to refuse to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the worst thing that's considered to be a sin. And usrofim is a form of avodah zarah. Yan ma'asta estevar Hashem, you have rejected Hashem's words. Vayim oscha mimelach. So here we have over here something very, important. We have over here the haftarah generally is always the balance to the parsha. When Chazal selected to read the Haftorah, what Chazal more often than not have done is, when you read the parsha, there's a message. But if the message is taken to the extreme, that's also no good. More often than not, when you read the Haftorah, you'll discover in the Haftorah, there's a balance. There's a message in the parsha, there's a theme in the parsha. Unfortunately, we have a nature to go to the extreme, and the Nevi'im have to always come and put Klal Yisrael on the line, learn the lesson of the parsha, but don't be an extremist. There has to be a balance. And it's very fascinating that here in this week's parsha, when we begin Chumash Vayikra, the theme is to offer sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet the message of the Haftorah is, it's a nice thing to offer sacrifices, but the Ikar is L'shmoya L'dvar Hashem. The Ikar is to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ikar is not the sacrifice, it's what, the underlying message, the willingness to humble yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give of yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Don't take the wrong message from the bringing of the sacrifices. He made a mistake. On his,
they should be destroyed automatically. That is the big question.
That is the big mystery. What was Shaul thinking? He was explicitly told to destroy all of the spoils. He made a mistake. He did not. He made a mistake, and he thought that he knew better. There are different approaches. Some of the Mepharshim want to say, I saw yesterday, some want to say that his mistake was that the reason why he thought that he was not allowed to sacrifice an animal was because the Amalekim had this ability to change into animals. They would disguise themselves through magic as an animal. So Chazal say, if you know the trick of converting yourself into an animal, you can change your body, but you can't change your eyes. The eyes will have human eyes. So Shaul inspected all of the eyes of the animals, and he saw they were not human eyes. He knew they were real animals, they were not human beings. So therefore he felt he's allowed to save the animals to offer as sacrifices. That's not incorrect. Hashem still said the Shaul has to be destroyed. So he made a mistake. Yeah?
I heard Rabbi Stern from Yeshiva said a shot. What does the word Shoma mean to hear? Sometimes you hear things, and it's fleeting, goes in, your mind goes out. And sometimes you hear it, and you soak it okay. But sometimes you hear it, and you act on it. What Shaul's mistake was, he said, was he heard. But he didn't really hear. He didn't really understand what a Kodesh Baruch wants. And you see in the Lashon, because what Pasuk says, it says, Malama lo shimata. And what does Shaul answer? Vayomer Shaul l'Shmuel, Asher shamati. I did listen. And Shmuel saying to him, you may have heard it fleetingly, but
hearing and listening.
Very good, very good. Okay, let's go to another quick idea, another short idea. This week, the end of last week's parasha, Parashas Pekudei, concludes with the words "V'lo yachol Moshe lavoyel ohol moed." The maftir, the last week's parasha, the end of the Shemos, says Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to enter into the heichol because the Shekhinah rested there. V'lo yachol Moshe lavoyel ohol moed ki shachan olav ha'anon uchvoyach Hashem olei es ha'mishkan. He wasn't allowed to enter. This week's parasha begins with Vayikrael Moshe. Hashem finally calls Moshe and he says to Moshe, Moshe, you may now enter. What is in between the end of Chumash Shemos and Chumash Vayikra? Four blank lines. An open space of a very long waiting period. And this, I once heard someone say this, someone said to his friend, I read this somewhere, did you daven yet? So he said, no, I did not yet daven shachris. So he said, what's taking so long? It's late. How? Why did you daven shachris? So he said, I'm stuck. What are you stuck? I'm stuck in between the words mode ani and the word lefonecha. After I said ani, I filled myself up with gaiva. Do you know who I am? And now, lefonecha, I have to come before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very hard for me to come down from ani to come before lefonecha. So it's taking me time to humble myself, to go between ani and lefonecha. In this week's parasha, we have over here Moshe Rabbeinu, he's outside. He's last week's parasha, the end of last week's parasha, he's outside, he's waiting to go in. But he's stuck. He's stuck. There's a blank space. It's a blank space of four lines until Vayikra El Moshe. And this really is the message of what Golus is all about. We are, so to speak, stuck in the middle. We're waiting here in this blank space. We recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is present. He's waiting, but we have to still wait for Vayikra El Moshe. And it's a very long, difficult waiting period. And it requires a great degree of emunah until we come to the level of Vayikra El Moshe. Okay. Let's talk about Vayikra El Moshe. The first topic, Rashi mentions the idea of Vayikra El Moshe. There's an aleph, zero, there's a small aleph. So what is the significance of the small aleph? So Rashi writes here in the first Rashi, Avol Nevi'e L'chol Dibrois, ולכל אמירות ולכל ציווים קודם קריאה לשון חיבה. ויקרא זה לשון חיבה. לשון שמלאכי השרץ משתמשים בו שנאמר וקורא זה אל זה ויאמר קדוש. אבל נביאי אומות העולם נגלה עליהם בלשון ארעי ותאמר שנאמר ויקר. Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. So the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was onav Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not want to draw attention to himself that he was called by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an expression of love. So he tried to downgrade, to try to downplay the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed for him by writing Vayikar with a small aleph. When you have a small aleph, you're trying to indicate, make believe the word is spelled without an aleph, it's being spelled Vayikar. Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu just like Hashem appeared to Bilam. It was nothing special. Now there's a very big problem with this approach. How could Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest person that ever lived, how could he want to make an attempt to equate himself with the lowest of low of Bilam HaRasha? How could he want to do that? Even in the Hanani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikar Elokim Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Bilam, he met Bilam. Bilam, Hashem had to deliver a message. Bilam was not on a high level, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift. Moshe Rabbeinu, he worked his entire life to reach a Madrega where he's right to Makabal the Torah, to go to Shemaim, Lechem Lo Echalti, Mayim Lo Shasisi. How could Moshe Rabbeinu, in all humility, attempt to compare himself to a low person like Bilam? Even today, the greatest tzaddikim, he wouldn't say you. There are other ways to express humility. It's not your way to go and try to express humility through comparing yourself to a person who is not holy. So we can suggest the following answer. We have to remember that this week's parasha is Parashas Zohar. Parashas Zohar begins with Zohar Eis Hasha'os Elcha Malek. Baderech, how's the pasuk go? Zochar, Tzchem Mitzrayim. Asher Korcha Baderech. Korcha Baderech. Why does Parashas Amalek begin with the expression Korcha Baderech? So Chazal tell us because this is the essence of Amalek. Amalek believe everything in this world is nothing more than a coincidence. There is no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis. Purim is the antidote to Amalek. Purim is, why do we associate, why is Purim so much wrapped up in the theme of Mechias Amalek? Why do we lay in Parshas Amalek right before we come to Purim? Because Purim teaches us that there is no such thing as an accident. Purim is the miracle of what appears to be just ordinary events, a sequence of events, which are all coincidences, each one by itself, how they all came together to perform, to bear out this incredible miracle. This is the antidote, this is the antithesis to Amalek, whose entire essence is there is no Ribbono Shel Olam, he doesn't exist, and everything that happens in this world is nothing more. Asher Korcha Baderech happened by accident. That's what the theme of Parsha Samolek is. The Parsha Vayikra begins with this very same theme. Vayikra el Moshe. Don't make any mistake about it. The Pasuk says Vayikra. There's an Aleph. And Vayikra means Loshon Chiba. There's a direct calling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. But Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to impress upon Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not always speak to you L'mala Miderech HaTeva openly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu more often than not speaks to you through coincidences, through Vayikar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you happen to be in the right place at the right time. You happen, yet things which seemingly, which to an observer would be nothing more than a coincidence, is really a hidden message for a person to pick up, to respond to listen to. Vayikra el Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Klal Yisrael the lesson of Amalek. Amalek, the lesson of Purim. Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech. Moshe is saying, no, there's a Vayikra. The Vayikra in history is simple little events, coincidences. These are messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating to Klal Yisrael. Okay, another idea. Vayikra, if you take away the Aleph, it's Vayikar, and it's also Vikar. Vikar is what? Vikar is Elu HaTfilin. La'ihudim hoysa oira, v'simcha v'sason, Vikar. Chazal, tell us Vikar Elu HaTfilin. What is Moshe Rabbeinu here doing when he writes Vayikra, when he tries to omit the Aleph and write the word Vikar? What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is teaching us a very important lesson. When you are a recipient of Kavod, what is true kavod? There is no kavod in this world. True kavod is a zehu mechubad hamechabed. The koyach of kavod is to give honor to someone else. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu here at this moment in time gave Moshe Rabbeinu the ultimate kavod that was given to a human being in this world. They built a mishkan, they built the place, the resting place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest the shechina in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now calls out to Moshe in front of the entire Klal Yisrael. They hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe. This is the greatest honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give a human being, to call him by name and to show that I want to speak to you. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? The covet is not from me, Hashem. Mm-hmm. The covet is your covet. Vikar, Elu Hatzin. What are Tfilin? Tfilin is the shame Hashem. Tfilin is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Tfilin is an object which is an honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is through Tfilin we show that we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is redirecting the kavod that has been given to him. He's deflecting it directly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, encompassing the concept of Ezehu Mechubad HaMechabed. Hashem, you want to give me kavod? You want to call to me B'lashon Chiba? I'm not the one that deserves kavod in this world. I'm going to ride Vikar. Vikar Elu HaTfilin. We take an object, we put it on our heads to say, in this world there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ezehu Mechubra Mechavet. And this is also the message of Purim. There was no time in the history of the world that Klal Yisrael received such kavod like the time of Purim. What happened in Purim? Rabbi Me'ame Haritz Misyahadim Ki Nafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem. Klal Yisrael, they were raised to the highest degree of stature in this world. Mordechai, Esther, Mishnah LeMelech, they rule the world, the Jewish people. And what is the Megillah? What's the last thing we learn about the honor of Klal Yisrael in the Megillah? La'ihudim ha'sa'oira, simcha, v'sasa, and all the various things, Torah, bris milah, yomtif. And then the last thing on the list is vikar. What is Klal Yisrael saying? Ribbono shel olam, the covet is not for us. It's your covet. What is Tfilin doing in the list of items? Klal Yisrael is saying, you want to give us covet? You want to give us the cover that you're going to give us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only an opportunity for us to be mechabed you, to put on the tefillin and to declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that our crown in this world, our pride and joy, is being able to be mechabed and give cover to you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this theme is the theme of Purim, and is the theme of the opening line of Vayikra El Moshe, is Moshe downplays the Aleph to give a Zehu Mechumud HaMechabed. Okay, let's go to another idea. Karbanos, we have in the parasha, this the parasha begin, Vechumash Yukud deals with karbanos. Karbanos, every karban has three parts. The parasha, doesn't mention the Nesachim, but we know that from parasha Vahaleischa, but every karban has three parts. There is the karban, the actual sacrifice, and every karban is accompanied by what's called a minchas Nesachim. Every karban is accompanied by a mincha, a meal offering. And after you bring the meal offering, you pour wine on the mizbeach. That's the rules we say in davening on the musafim. We bring the parim, the elim, and then we bring itzaron, a certain amount of flour mixed with oil for the meal offering, and then v'niskehem kimishpatam. In addition, we pour upon the mizbeach wine. What is the significance in bringing three? Every carbon has three parts. So the answer I'd like to suggest is it all comes from what we say in davening every day: kadosh, 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 Hashem tzivakos melol chol aretz kivado. We imitate the Malachim in Birchas Kriyashma. We say this in Kedusha. We say this Kedusha de Sidra. Multiple times we say this theme over and over: kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now, what's the repetition? Now, it does not mean the average person will be asked, what does it mean, kadosh, kadosh? It means Hashem is super holy, super duper holy. There's holy, there's holy, holy, and there's super duper duper holy. That's not what it means. The translation of the Targum clearly tells us the significance of the repetition of the word kadosh, kadosh three times. Number one, the Targum's the first kadosh is Hashem is holy. Kadish bishmei miroima ilo'a beishechinte. Hashem is holy in heaven. In the heaven, the heavenly abode, in Shemayim, in a world that we cannot relate to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy there, Ilo'a, in His exalted place, Beis Shechinte. And then we say, the second Kadosh, Hashem is holy in this world. Kadish Al Ara, Hashem is holy upon the earth, Ovad Givurte, the product of His creation. Ovad Givurte. And the third Kadosh is, Kadish le'olam ul'olme'olmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy in time. Basically, what we're saying over here in this expression, Hashem is holy in Mokoim and in Zman. Mokoim can be broken down into two parts. There is the Mokoim in the Olam Ha'Elyonos, in the upper worlds, and then there is the Mokoim in the Olam Ha'Tachtonos, in this world, Ha'Tachton, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holy in Zman. Zman, we know we live in a linear world, there is time. Time in time there is holiness. Kadosh, 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 olam elyon, olam tachtoin, and in zman. And indeed, when we say in the Shemun Esrei, ata kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, ukidoshim v'chol yom yehalalucha sela, we make three mentions of holiness, and it corresponds to kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Ata kadosh, you are holy. You meaning you, Hashem, in the holy world, you in the olam elyonos. Ata. The second, v'shimcha, your name. Your name refers to the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this lower world. In this lower world, we can't say Atah. We don't actually see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this world, we can relate Shimcha. Hashem has a reputation. We relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our way, the best that we can in this world, through the concept of Shimcha. Hashem has multiple names. Every name represents a different midah. Midah Sarachanim, midah Sadin, all different types of attributes. Shimcha represents Hashem in this world. And then we mention holiness in time, Ukidoy Shim, Bechol Yoim, every single day, Yahalalucha Sela. So we have Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We paraphrase this in Ato Kadosh in Shemayim, Vishimcha Kadosh, we relate to you in holiness in this world, Ukidoshim Bechol Yom is in Zman. Now think about it, every carbon has three parts. There is the Zevach, we take a living creature and we give away its life. We give its life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechita. We take its life, we mekabel the dam, ki adam hu ha-nefesh, and we give the dam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing something which is not something that we have a very hard time grasping. It represents giving holiness to the next world. Taking the neshama of a living creature and offering it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're doing something special in the upper worlds. And then we take bread. Bread is the staple of life in this world. Kiloy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Bread is life. That's this world. In this world, we need bread to survive. And then we pour wine. The single most significant attribute of wine is time. Yayin yoshon shedas zikenim Noicha Heimenu. Wine, Yain Yoshem, the Yain from Maisa Bereshis, wine throughout Chazal always represents that this wine ages. Having you drink a cup of wine, a cup of wine from years ago, you're bringing with you Zman, the sanctity of Zman. When you Mekadesh Shabbos, wine Shabbos, and when you Mekadesh Shabbos with Yain. Because Shabbos represents the creation of time. Hashem created the world in 7 days. 7 days, 7 days correspond to 7,000 years. 6 days of work, Shabbos, and how are we Mekadesh Shabbos with Yayin? Why? Because Shabbos was the end of the Zman. Sheishes Yomim Ta'avoid Uvayoyim Hashvi Tishbois. So when we sanctify Zman, we sanctify with an object which captures, which has the quality of Zman, because as wine ages, the quality of wine gets better. So when it comes to a carbon, what we really do, when you bring every single carbon, you do the three parts of the carbon. You bring an animal, you give away its life to Hashem, you then bring bread, you put bread on the Mizbeach, and then you pour wine on the Mizbeach. In essence, what you're doing with the bringing of the carbon is you're saying, Ato Kodosh, V'shimcha Kodosh, U'kidoshim B'chol Yoim Yehalelucha Sela. This is the essence of every single carbon, to paraphrase the third bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, let's go to another idea. Rashi here says, we have over here, after we the carbon, the purpose of a carbon is nachas ruach. Let me find the pasuk. V'hektir ha-koyhein es ha-kol ha-mizbecha oylo ishei reach Nichoyach LaHashem. The offering of Korbanos is unique. It is unique in that it is the only thing that is called a Reach Nichoyach. Mitzvah, nowhere do we find the performance of a mitzvah is called a Reach Nichoyach. The offering of a carbon is called a Reach Nichoyach. Rashi explains in this pasuk, what does it mean here, Reach Nichoyach? Let me just find.
It comes from Noach.
Noach means to rest, but there's something called a reach and there's something called nichoyach. And Rashi explains what's the word nichoyach. Nachas ruach lefonai. I have satisfaction. She'amarti v'nasor ritzoni. I have spoken and my will has been fulfilled. My will has been done. Nasar Ritzoni. First, we explain that this expression, Shamarti Vinasar Ritzoni, is alluding, is teaching us. I saw this idea. The basic idea I saw over here is from Rabbi Weiss, from Rabbi Minchas Osher, from Rabbi Osher Weiss. So he writes in the back, he has a beautiful swarm, it's lumbus, but in the back he has some drush machshava, and he has a haktam to chumash vayikra. And he basically explains as follows. This idea is unique of nachas ruach. Reach Nichoyach is unique to Korbanos. Korbanos represents the purpose or the shleimus of the Mishkan. Let's go take a step back. What is the Mishkan? The Mishkan represents Hashem's dira, his dwelling place in this world. Hashem created this world, but this world, unfortunately, is a bit too mundane for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come, to rest, because man is too corrupt to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exist in this world. But Klal Yisrael, through the building of the Mishkan, has achieved in allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take up residence in this world. It's Hashem's world, He created the world, but when you create something, the whole pleasure of creating something is its use. What's the fun of making something, of creating, building a bayis, spending years in building a home, when you can't live in the house? At least sell it, make money off it, and you can take the money and you can do something also the money. But the Iker Hanah of creating something is being able to participate and being able to live in this bias. Hashem created this world. But unfortunately, Hashem is not willing to rest Hashem in this world, because this world is a mundane world. Hashem created a mundane world. Hashem will only want to be able to derive pleasure from this world if he can live in this world. How can he live in this world? Through the creation of a Mishkan or a Mikdash. It's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be mitzamtzem his Shechina and can rest in this world. How? And that's the Mishkan. But the Mishkan is not just a location. In order for Hashem to rest, activities must happen in this world. What are the activities? The activities are the bringing of Korbanos. You just can't have a building. There's no fun in just building a building. You have to have a building. You have to have people in the building doing things, accomplishing, doing constructive things in the building. We build the Mishkan, we offer korbanos. Through the offering of the korbanos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can now rest His divine presence. By resting His divine presence, it brings shleimus to the creation of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with asara ma'amaros. Vayomer Elokim yehi or. Vayom Elokim yehi roki abesach ha'moyim. Vayom Elokim tache ha'desha. The world was created with asara ma'amaros. She'amarti, Hashem said, and she'amarti v'naseh ritzoni. The world was created. But just because the world was created through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amira, Hashem does not derive any satisfaction. You put in a hard day of labor, a hard day of work, and what do you come away with? With nothing. We all know the story. They were slaves during the time of the Bais Rishon, where they were forced to grind wheat. They were forced to go in circles the whole day grinding, but they did not see the product of their labor. And then, and what kept them going all the time and during the slave labor was, at least they felt, look, we're doing slave labor, but at least there's benefit, because when we're going around in circles and we're causing this mill, the grinder, to circle, it's got to be they're putting in some grain in between the two stones, and it's producing flour, and there's someone out there in the world that's going to derive benefit. And then when they were shown that no one ever put grain into the mill, between the two stones, and all of their labor was all for nothing, they instantly died. The agmas nefesh of knowing that you spent all this time and effort and labor and you accomplished nothing, no one derived benefit, the agmas nefesh is so great that these slaves, they had nothing to live for, they just perished on at that moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through the effort of creating the world, the asara ma'amarois nivra ha'olam. But what does Hashem have to show? What does He gain out of creating this world? The only pleasure He will gain from having this world is if He's able to derive benefit from this world. He's able to participate, to be in this world, to rest a shechin in this world. To do so, there needs to be a mishkan. To build a mishkan, just building a beautiful building, that's not going to do it. There has to be some activity which brings the shechinah. The activity that brings the shechinah to this world is the offering of the korbanos. So now when you offer the korbanos, it's called a reach nichoyach. It's called nachas ruach. It's not a nachas ruach stam. Hashem is happy you offer korbanos. It's retroactive. It's a nachas ruach now when the asara ma'amaros she'amarti, when I spoke in the beginning of creation, she'amarti, I spoke the asara ma'amaros that the world should be created. V'naseh ritzoni, I now finally have satisfaction. This is a very deep insight to explain the depth of what it means, what these words of Rashi mean. It's not really from Rashi, this is from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sefer Zvachim, L'shem shisha dvarim ha-zevach korav. For six things an offering is sacrificed. And one of those things is L'shem nichoyach. What does it mean, L'shem nichoyach? What does it mean? So Rav Asher Weiss, very brilliantly, very deep, what he explains over here is, when it says over here in Chazal, Nachas ruch lefonai she'omarti, I said, v'nasor ritzoni she'omarti, is not referring to the command, like commonly translated. I gave you a command to bring a sacrifice, and you did what I said. I told you to bring a carbon oila. You brought a carbon oila. I'm happy. No, that's not what it means. Because if that's what it means, you can say the same exact thing when it comes to doing mitzvah tzitzis. You can say the same thing when it comes to tefillin, when it comes to any mitzvah, and when it comes to sitting in a sukkah. She'omarti, I gave a command that you should do this mitzvah. I gave a command you should do 613 mitzvahs, and every time you do one of my 613 mitzvahs, I have satisfaction. And yet nowhere b'chol ha'tarukul do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satisfaction with this expression, nachas ruach she'amarti v'nasar ritzoni. So what then does it mean? It means something much deeper. It means she'amarti at the time of my sibereshis. V'asara ma'amorois nivra ha'olam she'amarti, I created a world. But unfortunately, I have no nachas from this world, because I have nothing to do with this world. I'm not invited to this world. This world is a mundane world where people do things that I don't want to deal with. I don't want to have anything to do with these people. But if you build the Beis HaMikdash, a Mokim HaShoha Sashchina, and you bring korbanos, and by bringing the korbanos, you cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down to this world, to be mitzamseim his kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, then l'mafreya, retroactively. Sh'amarti, when I said at the time of creation, the Asar Mamoros. Oh, now the creation now for me is a nachas ruach. I have satisfaction because I'm able to draw benefit from this world as well. And once you want to add to that is. Of course, but it's a different darga. The Hashua Sashrina, there are many levels of Hashua Sashrina. But the ultimate level where the Shrina is in the mikra, is participating in this world to the full degree, comes when you have a base Hamidish, you have the full complement of the Shrina. Yeah?
I recollect, I don't know if I'm totally correct, the Gemara in Yom Ha'atzmaut, they said one of the things that was missing by Sheni was the Shrina.
Right.
So
by Yesheni, there was a much lower level of Hashuas Hashchina than the by Yesh Rishon.
So what was the purpose of the bonus?
You can still, it was not necessarily L'Reach Nechoyach, you're right, the satisfaction that Hashem had from the Kabbalists in the Bayis Sheni, Chazal say, was small relative to the previous generations. It's all relative, it's not all or nothing. There are many, many, today the Shechina is also resting, every base HaKnesses is a Mokim Hashua HaShechina, but it's not the full dosage of Shechina that exists at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now I just want to add one point. I think it's for this reason we begin Tefillah with the words Baruch She'omar V'hoya Ho'olam. Why do we begin Roshoy Kesem Paz? We learned today in Shir Hashirim Roshoy Kesem Paz. The beginning of the Tefillah begins with Psukei Dezimra. The Psukei Dezimra begins with the Bracha Baruch She'omar V'hoya Ho'olam. Why did Chazal select that expression to open up Psukei Dezimra? It's very simple, based upon what Rav Osher Weiss has taught us. It's because the Tefillah is in place of Korbanos. Uneshalma Farim Sifoseinu. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we come instead to the Mikdash Ma'at, and we Mespalel, and our Tefillah is in the place of Korbanos. What is the purpose of Korbanos? The purpose of Korbanos is L'shem Nichoyach, Reach Nichoyach LaHashem, Rashi Nichoyach, Nachas Ruach Lefonai, She'omarti, V'naso Ritzoni. Rav Osher Weiss, what does it mean, She'omarti? She'omarti means She'omarti at the time of my Bereishis. Vayoyimer Elokim Yehi Or, Bereishis Nami Mamor. Menela, the Masada of the Nusach HaTfilah, they explicitly said, the opening one, we're here to daven to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring you korbanos, and the purpose of these korbanos is to bring the Shechina to this world. By bringing the Shechina to this world, Baruch She'omar V'hoya Ho'olam. The world came into existence. You will now finally have a nachas ruach from your hard labor of creating this world.
How does that fit in the building with the first time it's used when Noah just builds an altar to the building?
What?
When Noah,
by Yorach Reach Nichoyach,
he doesn't build the building, and that's the first time Yorach is used.
So in ancient times, even just the altar alone was enough to bring the Shechina down to this world. By Yorach Hashem Reach Nichoyach, it says that by Noach, even though there was not a building, he brought a sacrifice. Bringing the sacrifice brought the Shechina down to this world to some degree. It was a process. Okay. Now let's talk about the theme of salt, melach. In this week's parasha, we learn about a mitzvah of offering salt in every single al kol korbancha takriv melach. Okay, it says over here, v'chol korban minchasicha, every korban mincha, ba melach timlach. V'lesashvis, melach v'ris elokecha me'al minchasicha, al kol korbancha takriv melach. Now, if you were writing the Torah, and you would want to teach this halacha, then you're supposed to add salt to every carbon. Where would you write the halacha in reference to the mincha or in reference to the animal? So I think the more significant part of the sacrifice is the animal. And every animal indeed was salted. Some in fact say the reason why, if you learn in Sechta Talmud, there was a delay. They sacrificed the Tamid Shel Shachar, and they brought all the parts of the Tamid Shel Shachar on the ramp of the Mizbeach, and then they went to Daven Shachris. And after they finished Davening Shachris, they came back and they took the meat from the ram and they put it on the fire of the Mizbeach. Question is, why was there a delay? You slaughter the animal, you mekabel the dam, you put the dam on the Mizbeach, now you take the imurim, all of the different parts of the animal, and you burn it on the fire of the Mizbeach. Why the delay? Why was the Seder Hadzarim, they cut the animal into 13 parts, and they put it on the ramp, and then, okay, time to daven Shacharis. They had an abridged version of Shacharis, and after they finish Shacharis, they come back to the ramp, and the same Kohanim that put the piece of meat on the Mizbeach would return and take it from the ramp and put it to the top of the fire in the Mizbeach. So I think it's the Me'iri that says, something really shocking, it says, because you have to salt the meat. You have to salt. And just like when you salt the meat, you have to wait 18 minutes to eat it for yourself. So you don't give Hashem, meat that's treif. You have to salt the meat for Hashem. So you put it on the ram of the Mizbeach, and then you pour the salt on the meat, and you let it soak in the salt for 18 minutes. Shacharis only took 18 minutes. They had a bridge version of Shacharis. And then after they salt, the Levi says this, they then went back to the ram, they put the meat, they put it on the Mizbeach. It's a kasha. This is what I think what the Meiri says that. If not, I'm saying it's the Meiri says this. If not, it's another Rishon that says this. Very. That's what explains why they waited 18 minutes. They waited to daven shachar into the middle because you have to salt the meat.
The carbon is like tefillah. So the same way was the wait shalach and the carbon. So maybe they're waiting for.
Well, they already offered the dam. The ikar chelik of the carbon is the blood. The blood, there was no delay. The blood, they did shechita, kabbalah, and they immediately put the blood on the mizbeach. So why would... the answer is, salting is a very significant part of the process. Not only do you put salt on the zevach, you put salt on the mincha as well. But the ikar l'cha'ora is the zevach. So why then does the Torah emphasize the salt should be put on the meal offering? And with regard to the meat, nowhere does it explicitly say you're supposed to put salt on the meat. We only know it from a ribui. The ribui is al kol karboncha takriv melach. A ribui. I think I have a Jewish to explain the answer as follows. There are two, salt serves two functions. Number one, salt gives flavor. Number two, salt in ancient times was a preservative. Preservative. If you have meat, they didn't have refrigeration, so Rabbi Belsky used to always say this, they had walking refrigerators. What's a walking refrigerator? You keep the animal alive until the last minute. That's a walk. You used to call it a walking refrigerator. Ancient time. I remember the Shia used to say that. Walking refrigerators. You don't shech the animal until the very last minute in order to keep the animal fresh. Today we have refrigeration, so we don't need to do that. We can slaughter the animal. But let's say you do slaughter the animal. You want to keep the meat preserved for a very long period of time. What would you do? You can salt it. Now, when you salt it for preservation, you don't need just a little bit of salt. You soak it thoroughly in salt. If you soak something thoroughly in salt, then it can last for a very, very long time. But of course, it's a process that when you want to eat it, you're going to have to go and you have to desalt it. You're going to have to soak it in order to get rid of the enormous amount of salt that was there to use as a preservative. There are two different parts. We mentioned before there are three parts of the carbon. But let's put aside the yai. Let's focus on the zevach and the mincha. Zevach represents sacrifice. You mekadesh shem shemayim through giving up your life. The ultimate sacrifice. Hashem says, I don't want you to give up your life. And the best you can do is make belief. Take an animal and think, really, this should be me. And the same way I give up the life, and instead of giving up my life, let me take the life of an animal, focus on the giving up the life of the animal in replacement for your neshama. It represents giving up your neshama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you bring a mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a meal offering is the staple of life. But it's everything. You can serve Hashem through living. You can mekadesh shem shemayim not through sacrifice, but you mekadesh shem shemayim through life, through living. When you add salt, so think, what is the purpose of salt when it comes to bread, and the purpose of salt when it comes to a sacrifice? When it comes to bread, it's preservation. preservation. You're adding salt. It says multiple times. The Torah only emphasizes salt when it comes to a mincha, and it says the word salt 3 times in the pasuk. Add a lot of salt, because to be mekadesh shem shamayim through living is something, a lesson I want you to preserve. I want this to be a lesson to live with for your entire life. To serve Hashem, to sacrifice Hashem through death, this is not a lechatchila. You add salt to give it flavor. If a person, Rachman al-Tzlan, is called upon to give up his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through death, don't be bitter. It should not be a bitter experience. You should be mekadesh shem shamayim. It should be with flavor. Al kol karbon chatakrev melech, when a person gives up his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through death, add some salt. Let it be with tam v'reach. Let it be meaningful. It should be with dignity, with a higher purpose. But just add a little bit of salt, because the purpose of the salt is flavor. It's flavor. Flavor, you only add a small amount of salt. The Torah doesn't even mention it. Just merames, yeah, throw in some salt. But when it comes to the meal offering, which is symbolic of serving Hashem through living a life of Kedusha, that ate a lot of salt. Because that is something you have to emphasize. That is something that has to be front and center. Something which has to be preserved for Klal Yisrael, for everyone to learn from. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here two korbanos that are unique in the parash. The korban of the par helam davar shel tzibar, and the par of the koyein Mashiach. Now this means as follows: a normal person, if they do an avera for which, under normal circumstances, there would be a chiyuv kares, if the avera is done b'shoigeg, so you bring a korban chatos. If the koyein gadol does that very same avera, he doesn't just bring a regular korban chatos. He's in big trouble, because he's a judge on a much higher level. If a regular person eats chel, if you go to a restaurant, I didn't know it's a non-kosher restaurant. I thought in Flatbush all the restaurants are kosher. How am I supposed to know that we have a non-kosher restaurant in Flatbush and they serve me chelef? Okay, so you made a mistake. So you bring a korban chatos. Okay, no big deal. But if the Kohen Gadol walks into the restaurant on the big day Shmoina and it sits, and he sits down, what a chil Hashem. You should have known better, and therefore you don't just bring an ordinary korban, you bring a, what's called a par. Par is a hoin rav. It cost a few $1,000 to go bring a par. What is a par? $1,000. $1,000. That's your korban. And you don't just sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. The blood has to be sprinkled on the pareches. The pareches that's modeled between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. And the blood has to be sprinkled on the corners of the mizbeach hazov. And the leftover blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach hachitzan. Okay, it's a unique korban. It's very serious korban. Then there's another unique korban, and that is if the majority of Klal Yisrael does an avera through the psak of Bezd. In other words, Bezd and Paskin, that this restaurant is kosher. They give a hechsher, they put up a sign in the restaurant, the vad of the Lishkas HaGozis, the vad HaKashrus department of the Lishkas HaGozis, Paskins, that this restaurant is kosher. And the whole Klal Yisrael goes, the majority of Klal Yisrael, they attend a banquet and they eat the meat, the chalif of this restaurant. And then Bezin says, oops, we made a mistake, we never really meant, it was meant to give to the hechshef in the next door, not this restaurant. The restaurant is a mistake. So what is the halacha? The halacha is that the majority of Klal Yisrael sin because of the Sanhedrin, so you don't, every member of Klal Yisrael does not have to bring a korban. There's only one korban that's brought. It's going to be brought by the Kohen Gadol through the Sanhedrin, and also it has basically all of the same laws of the Kohen Gadol. You bring a par, and the blood is sprinkled seven times on the paroches of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and it is sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaZav and the Shiram on the Mizbeach HaChitzayim. Now, everything is really the same. There's only one small difference, one nuance of expression, in when the blood is sprinkled on the paroches, the way the paroches is described. In the parish of the Kohen Gadol, it's called the paroches HaKodesh. Let me find the pasuk. The pasuk over here is the Kohen HaMashiach Nefesh ki sechet im ha-koin ha-moshiach yechetah. So it says here, v'nosan v'tovol ha-koin es etzbo ba-adam v'yizom min adam sheva pamim lufnei Hashem es penei paroiches ha-koidesh. You sprinkle on the paroiches ha-koidesh. When the tzibur doesn't have him, kol adas yishol yishkuv nelam dover min yakohol, and the blood is sprinkled on the paroiches, it says here, where is the blood applied? The blood is applied to the tavla koines etzbom and adam v'hizos sheva apam lufnei Hashem eis penei haparoiches. The word hakodesh is absent. So Rashi asked the question. Rashi says, why by the Kohen Gadol does it say the paroiches hakodesh, and why by the by the paramelodial sibur does not say the paroiches hakodesh? So Rashi gives the answer. The answer is, when the entire sibur does an avera, kedusha leaves klal yisrael. The kedusha has departed. The whole klal yisrael, it happened such hashkocha pratis that the majority of klal yisrael were nichshol in an avera to the psak of bezdin. There's something wrong in klal yisrael. The Rashi is like a real drush. Rashi normally is not this so drushy. Rashi is more pshati. Pshati Rashi over here is very drushy. Rashi's words over here is ulamailhu aimer es prea preches hakodesh. Moshe lemelch she sorcho lav medina im miuta sorcho, if only a small amount, pamal yisrael miskayemes, who is pamalia, the army remain of only a few people rebel, so big deal. But the im kulam sorcho, Ein pamalia shloim miskayemes, his army is no longer miskayemes. Afkan kishachota koy Mashiach, only one person sins. It's still called the paroiches hakodesh. But adayin kedush lamakom al hakodesh mishachota kulam. If chas shol the majority of klal yisrael sins, then it's no longer called the paroiches hakodesh because this is Rashi, beautiful drush. If Rashi wouldn't say this, I can pull your leg. I can tell you it's a chasam sefer. Chasam svasemis, you would believe me without a hitch, right? Without a hitch. Okay, this is a beautiful drush, a very, very unique type of drush from Rashi. And there's another very popular insight. I think it comes from the briskest, maybe the Beis Halevi. The answer is that the par helam davar shel tzibur can be brought even in the time of the bayis sheni, even when you don't have the shemen hanishcha. But the koyin hamashiach can only be brought during the time of the shemen hanishcha. The koyin gadol must be anointed with the shemen hanishcha during the time of the bayis rishon. What was inside the kodesh hakodashim? The Aron HaKodesh. So it was the real deal. It was the Pnei Paroiches HaKodesh. Because inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, there was real Kedusha. It was the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Aron HaKodesh, the Kruvim, and the Shunah was resting. But in the Bayis Sheni, never happened. In the Bayis Sheni, there's no Kohen Mashiach. The Kohen Gadol did not have the Shemen HaMishcha. There was no Shemen HaMishcha. So even though he went Lefnai V'Lefnim, but there was no Shalif, if the Kohen Gadol made a mistake, he did an Avera, he was like an individual, he only brought a regular carbon. But if the Tzimor did an Avera during the time of the Bayis Sheni, a Tzibur is a Tzibur. You don't need Shemen HaMishcha for the Tzibur. If the majority of clients shall sin in the time of the Bayis Sheni, then the Kohen Gadol would bring the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. But now when it comes to the Paroiches, you can't call the Paroiches HaKodesh. Because on the other side of the Paroiches, there's nothing there. There's no Aron. There's no Kruvim. There's no Shechina. So you can't call it the Paroiches HaKodesh. So therefore, since the Torah, Al Pi Nevuah, knew that is going to come at Kufa of a Bayis Sheni, where there's not going to be the Paroiches HaKodesh, the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, it did not say the word Kodesh. This is an answer, another answer, a technical answer, from the Briska family. I'm not sure which one of the Briska Ravs, but one of the Briska Ravs says the answer.
If you had it at that time, you wouldn't have Avers.
Well, that's a mitzias.
No, we do that. The
kahanim bought the kohanim. Not the kahanim. The par helam shel tzibur. The tzibur would do averos. So the kahanim is just the representatives. So it's pnei the paroiches. I just want to suggest another very simple answer. A very simple answer is that that by the Kohen Gadol, let's focus on the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon inside behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Aron, the Kruv, and then the Shrin is resting behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. And here the Kohen is going to do it twice. I'm going to bring two Kurbanos. I did an Avera, I ate Chalef. And I'm also, later in the day, on the schedule, I'm also bringing a carbon for the Gantz Klalishol, they did a different Avera, whatever the Avera was. Each one did a different Avera with the Zechiv Kars. Two different Averas. And in the morning I'm going to bring for myself, and the afternoon I'm going to bring for the Klalishol. Two different Averas. When the Kohen Gadol brings his own personal power, Hilam Dover Shel Tzibur, and he comes in front of the Paroiches, it's personal. When it's personal, it's the same makom, it's the same location. I'm doing exactly the same thing, but to me, it's the Paroiches HaKodesh. Because I, the Kohen Gadol, I go on the other side. I, once a year, on Yom HaKippurim, it is I who goes on the other side of this Paroiches into the Kodesh HaKodashim to bring the Ketores before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sprinkle the blood. I do this. If I go in the Kodesh HaKodashim and I have done an Avera, I have let myself down. It's much more painful for me. I have failed myself. I have failed Klal Yisrael. I am the representative of Klal Yisrael to be the only man who goes into this makom, to this holy makom, and therefore it demands of me to be on a higher madrega. It's personal. If you're the Baal Tzvila on the Yomim Noiroyim and you're davening Musaf, it's a different summer. It's a different year. Every moment, when you're leading up, you know, I'm practicing to be the Baal Tefillah on the Yom Noraim on Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to go do an Avera. I'm going to go watch television. I'm going to go. Doesn't pass that the person is going to be the Baal Tefillah goes and does these type of things. Is it an Avera? It's not an Avera. It's not right. He is the one who goes behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, into the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's the Paroiches HaKodesh. And I have done an Avera for which I'm Chayiv Koris, B'Shoigeg. It's the Paroiches HaKodesh. Later in the day, who am I bringing the carbon for? It's not my problem. The Tzibur did the Avera. The Sanhedrin, they blew it. The whole cloud. You're telling me trickle down effect on the Kohen Gadol. Okay, fine. But bottom line is, I'm not the one who was asleep at the switch. It was the Sanhedrin. They made a mistake. Klal Yisrael sinned. Okay, it's the job. That's what I'm being paid to do. I have to now bring the carbon on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It's not my. I'm going to the same location, but it's not personal. I have not let myself down. So when I come to this makom, it's just called El Pinei Aparoiches. It's just a curtain. I don't have this same intense feeling of what's behind the curtain. The Musar Haskel is, every person has to create for himself a Paroiches HaKodesh. You can't live life going through the motions. This is El Pnei HaParoiches. A person has to create for himself a life where it means something, where it's personal. And when you go through the same motions as everyone else, it's not just El Pnei HaParoiches, it's El Pnei HaParoiches HaKodesh. You have to set up for yourself situations, obligations, Shibudim chila, you know, ain't a doim when you mishabed yourself to do something, when you're in a situation where you have no choice to do something, it's different. You're in a different status. And when you go through the same thing everyone else goes through, you have a whole different attitude towards doing the mitzvah. It becomes upgraded from El Pnei HaKodesh, El Pnei HaParoiches, El Pnei HaParoiches HaKodesh. Okay, to leave off, to conclude, the last thing on Parsha Vayikra is a very, very beautiful thing in the Nick from Rabbi Nachman Mil Mirimanov. Rabbi Nachman Mil Mirimanov says that we come to the end of the Parsha, V'chiper Olav HaKohen Lufnei Hashem V'nislach Loi Al Achas B'Kol Asher Yaaseh L'Ashmova. you'll bring the koyin, you'll bring the korban for doing the aveira, the terrible aveira. You kichesh b'miso, you denied having in your possession your friend's property. You made a false shavua, but you've come to confess, I'm a liar, I swore falsely, I want to do tshuva, here I'm giving you back your money, plus I'm going to add a fifth, I'm going to pay you 20%. A fifth is, no, 25%. Not because it's milibar. It's 25%, it's a fourth. It's a fourth, which is a fifth on the outside. And I'm bringing a karban asham. Here's my karban asham. The kohen takes the money, give the money, the fifth, and they bring the karban, and now it says, okay, you're forgiven. Le'ashmova. We have a rule that you're not supposed to conclude a parsha on a sour note. And the word la'ashmava seemingly is sad news. You'll be forgiven for the transgression for which you are guilty. You don't want to end off the parsha guilty. It's not nice to end off guilty. So Rabbi Nachman el Merimna, it's not really a bad note, because when you look at the context, it's kapara, so it's a good note. So the minig bai in the court of Rabbi Nachman Mendel Mirimanov was, when you come to the word la'ashmaba, the tzibur would sing. They would sing a nigun to the words of Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol Hanaasim Bayoim Hashvi'i. The two words la'ashmaba is Rosh Tevos, what we say in Shachris on Shabbos, in Birchas Kriyashma, there's a, after you say Kelodon, you go a little bit further, there's a paragraph there that says, unique, you only say it on Shabbos, Lokel, Asher, Shavas, Mikol HaMasim, Bayom HaShvi. The words L'Ashma Va are Rosh Tevos, those first words. And it seems that in his court, they would sing a unique melody for Lokel, Asher, Shavas, that Siva would break out in song saying, Lokel, Asher, Shavas, Bayom HaShvi, Lokel, Asher, Shavas, Mikol HaMalacha, Bayom HaShvi, when they came to these words, in order not to end off on a sour note. Now it's very interesting that look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, in Hilchas Shabbos, it says something very interesting. The Ramah says that if you skip the piyutim by a mistake, right? Something, just forget to turn the pages. Ever happened to you? You don't make Pesukei the Zimra on Shabbos morning? Wow, that was fast. And what happened? Oh, I said the wrong Pesukei the Zimra. So let's say you forgot that also, you're ready, all holding my after Baruch Hu, and you just say Hameir La'aretz, and you read, you don't say Kelodoin, and then you realize, wait a minute, I skipped Kelodoin, I skipped Akol Yoducha, I skipped everything. So do you have to go back? What is the halacha? Do you have to say over Birchas Kriyashma? So the Ramah says something where he says, no, there's only one exception. If you didn't say the paragraph, Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol HaMasim, you got to go back. You can skip Kelodoin, you can skip Akol Yoducha, but you can't skip Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol HaMasim. Why is that so? I don't know. Obviously, that really captures the essence of Shabbos. It's very heavily significant, this concept. So I just saw explain the significance over here is, what is Shabbos? Shabbos, we say, Vayichulu Hashamayim Aretz. When it comes Shabbos, when we observe Shabbos, we are basically, we're saying testimony, Eidos, testimony that it's Hashem's world. He created this world. We have the minute to say it together Friday night, Vayichulu Hashamayim Aretz. What is the last parasha here? The last parasha here is where you are in denial. Your friend comes to you and says to you, sir, you have in your possession my watch. Can you please give it back to me? I have nothing. I don't know you nothing. I don't have anything, and I swear false. I'll swear that I don't have in your possession. When you come around to confess, you know something? It's yours. It's your property. And I acknowledge that I have sworn falsely. That's really what we're doing on Shabbos. Shabbos really is the essence of this last parasha. When it comes Shabbos, we acknowledge it's your world, Hashem. Maybe 6 days a week, we fool ourselves in thinking it's our world. And we testify, it's our world. But when it comes Shabbos, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's your world. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol HaMasim Bayom HaShvi, and we testify by davening and saying Vayechulu in the Shemona Esrei, we are saying Eidus Hashem, it's your world. Lokel Asher, it's not just a cute little thing. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol HaMasim Bayom HaShvi. Lokel Asher Shavas Mikol HaMasim Bayom HaShvi is the equivalent of the carbon asham that is being expressed here, ben odom lachaveray. There is ben odom lachaveray, denial and false testimony, ben odom lachaveray, and then there is denial and false testimony, ben odom lamokoim. After we finish mentioning the kapara for denial, ben odom lachaveray, we also say, lokel asher shavas, we parallel it Shabbos today, we acknowledge it's Hashem's world, and we testify that it's your world, we do tshuva for any mistake we've made during the week. Have a wonderful Shabbos.